Tuesday, January 14th, 2014. This is the Sales Playbook Podcast. I am your host, Paul Castain, from YourSalesPlaybook.com. And this is the podcast for sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners who want to sell more. Now today, we're going off of our typical format. Today, I get to play marriage counselor. Don't pretend like there isn't a problem here. I get to play marriage counselor between you sales reps and you sales managers because we got to learn to get along. Today, we're going to be tackling three things that sales reps hate. The three things that sales reps hate. Before we do, I want you to know that today's episode is sponsored by our January 22nd online sales program, and I'm going to have details for you at the end of the show. But meanwhile, you guys know how I like to roll. I don't like spending 5 or 6 minutes telling you about all this time-wasting stuff, what we're going to be talking about, and all this fluff. We got to get right down to business, so let's do it. So getting back to this whole idea of three things that sales reps hate. The very first thing, real big shocker coming at you in 3, 2, 1. You ready? Sales meetings. Now, what I'm going to do, folks, with each one of these areas that I'm going to be talking to you, I'm going to tell, first of all, the sales managers what the word is on the street when it comes to these things. What people tell me and what I've experienced, what we've seen, different things that I've seen in the classroom and heard in the classroom. And then as we go along, I'll kind of do little timeouts, say, okay, sales reps, here's something maybe you should work on. Sales leaders, perhaps this is something you could work on. So again, this first area is sales meetings. So one of the first, well, let me just tell you all of the little things that I've heard with regard to sales meetings. And tell me if this is a shock to you. A lot of reps feel like it's just a glorified beat-up session. Others feel the opposite. It's just like rah-rah to like the 10th degree, like a little over the top. Maybe too much administrative. And when I say administrative, things that maybe could have been best said in an email instead of pulling everybody out of the field. People have said that there's absolutely no value. People have complained to me that they see that these things are more infrequent, unscheduled, or scheduled with little to no notice, where the sales manager just gets a whim, it becomes a fire drill, everybody has to stop what they're doing to go to this meeting. A lot of people see it as a huge time waster, and again, kind of takes us away from selling activities. So let's go over to the sales managers first, and I want to tell you sales managers some things that you might want to do. Feel free to say duh after any one of these things, but you know what? I don't think I'd be telling you it if I hadn't heard that you guys aren't doing it. So the very first thing, you ready for this? This is why I'm a genius. You got to schedule it. And when you schedule it, you definitely want to make sure that you start and end on time. And by the way, I'm going to kind of step away from pointing the finger at sales managers. I'm going to tell you that's partially the fault of the sales reps attending too. And we're going to get to that. But one of the things that you can do, a really cool thing, and I really wish it was my idea because then I'd really seem like a genius to you guys. But what a lot of companies do is they have a rule called the standing rule. And people go about it differently. Let's just say it's an hour-long meeting that you've scheduled. When it hits either the 59th minute or right at the 60th minute, an alarm goes off right there on the table, clear cut, that everybody can see, everybody stands. So this way, if anybody wants to go beyond that 60th minute, they can do so standing. And I don't know about you, but I really don't want to stand unnecessarily for, you know, any amount of time. So it's a nice way to kind of also signal to everyone, hey, we're done here, man. We can't. That's one of my pet peeves, by the way. I mean, so many times we spend time talking about the game and planning for the game during game time. Now, we're getting up into Super Bowl season. Imagine how asinine this would be. Super Bowl Sunday, you go, you put on the TV, you're ready to rock and roll, watch these teams have at it, and nobody's playing. There's some people there talking about the game. There's other people planning for the game, and they're drawing out plays and running plays and practicing. It would be ridiculous, but you see, we do it every day in sales. And I don't want to see that here. So it's very, very important that we start and end on time. Quite frankly, this is up to you. I'm a big advocate of having a sales meeting off hours. I mean, some of you sales reps are going to hate me for saying this. I don't think you should have it at 6 a.m., but I really don't know that I'd have it at 10:30 in the morning either, man. We're talking prime selling time. So that's one of the things that could be done. The other thing, too, is that you guys absolutely have to stick to an agenda. Well, I mean, you could start by having an agenda, right? I mean, if you don't have one, but you got to stick to it. One of the tips that I give in the sales management training that I do is I say that you should have a parking lot. And a parking lot is just a real simple thing that you can do. If you guys meet face to face, you could have a flip chart and you could just write, you ready for this? Parking lot. I know. Once again, Castain's a genius. Or certainly if it's like a conference call, you could just kind of have just a part of your notebook dedicated to parking lot type of topics. Whenever you start to go on a tangent or another sales rep starts to go on a tangent, well, it's the role of the person running the meeting, typically the sales manager, to say, you know what, I have the unfortunate task of keeping us on task. This is a really important topic. Should we simply add it to the parking lot? And really, of course, now, again, playing Captain Obvious here, the key is not to just sweep these things under the carpet. It's to then get it on a list and make sure perhaps in the next meeting you take it up with the rep, or if it's something really, really, really critical, you could always meet offline after the meeting. But again, we want to keep it on topic. There's also a hidden little cool thing about the parking lot, which we're going to get to in a minute. Now, the next thing too, I mean, when we talk about these sales meetings and being little of no value, I want to give you a few tips, sales managers, on how you could make these meetings just a lot more meaningful and relevant to your sales reps. So one of the things that you should be doing is having brainstorming sessions. This is a great opportunity when the team is out of the field, they're together, and you can get the collective brain power of the team. If you want to get a great little cheat sheet of ideas of things you could be talking about, go into the LinkedIn groups, and you can go into, first of all, anything from your industry and see what they're talking about and get some ideas there. But you can certainly go into the LinkedIn sales groups. I mean, feel free, if you're not a member of my group, man, I would love to have you come by and join us. I'll put a link in the show notes. But again, it's a real creative name we have. It's called Sales Playbook in LinkedIn. And you'll find lots of great ideas that you could be discussing in your sales meetings, all for the low, low price of free. And how about you? I love free. Next, the other thing that you can do is take that parking lot that we were talking about before. And whenever you have these topics, you could just use that. Many of the people that I work with and I coach come back to me and say, man, I love the parking lot because I never run out of ideas because everybody gets on these tangents. Now what we're able to do is respectfully kind of stop the tangent, but yet we'll have just a ready supply of sales meeting topics. So that's another thing that you can do. I also think that there should be educational components in your sales meeting. I think it's a rare opportunity for all of us to get smarter. And let's face it, I mean, we're all busy, sales managers and sales reps alike. And we just never take the adequate amount of time to get smarter and get better. So we really have to do that. Some freebies that you might want to think about. I mean, discuss books that people are reading. How about blogs? I mean, you could certainly, I mean, there's no shortage of blogs out there that you guys could be discussing, and you could kind of pick a topic and kick it around. Also, too, there's several people that are using this podcast as something to discuss in their sales meetings. Feel free to do that. I mean, right now, this is episode number 97. And by the way, if you need to reference the show notes, you can go to yoursalesplaybook.com/97. But there are 97 free audio sales lessons for you right now if you go to iTunes, you can get those. So I want you to think about that as well. But also, too, how about things like sparring with the team, where maybe you throw some objections at them or you throw some objections at each other? How about handling difficult topics or questions, things like that, where people can just get better at what they're doing? Talk about different verticals that you guys are selling into. Consider having some special guests come into your sales meetings. I mean, and there's all different things that you can do. I mean, there's people right in your building that would be, or right in your company, that could be just awesome guests that could talk to the team about certain topics, so on and so forth. So I want you to think about that. Those are some things right there that you could do. But sales reps, I don't want to let you off the hook, because again, this is kind of like a little marriage counseling here. So fair is fair. I want to tell you that it's very, very important that you participate. I mean, what just blows my mind about us as salespeople, and don't pretend that I'm not talking about you here, because you know that I am. We are by far the most talkative group of people on a planet. Throw us into an internal sales meeting, we all put our head down, try not to make eye contact, and we suddenly get shy or just completely just, we're just off on an out-of-body experience. So you really have to participate. But I also think the opposite of that can be quite true, where we have the people who are just, I see this a lot with veterans of sales, people that have just been at this a long time. They're telling these war stories that are turning into glorified miniseries. So I think we have to be respectful on that side, but we really do have to start to participate. Another thing that you can do is stop pretending that you know so much. I mean, you will never find a bigger pet peeve of mine. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm going to brag a little bit here, folks, but I'm at this a long time. I'm in sales now 30 years. I've sold in just God knows how many different economies and different industries. I teach this stuff for a living. I've read at this point well over 1,000 books on sales and motivation and psychology, a variety of areas. I've studied several different fighting styles when it comes to sales. I've gone to the courses and the webinars and all this kind of stuff. And still, I feel that really, if we were measuring knowledge in miles, I think I'd be at like the quarter inch marker in terms of my knowledge. I mean, I have to keep learning. And so do you, because really the environment in which we're selling in, it's a moving target these days. It's moving. Just in the time you've been on this podcast, what, 12, 13 minutes, things have changed somewhere. So we have to keep up to date with this. But here's the problem with sales reps that I see, and I'm going to get very real with you right now, and I really want you to own this lesson. There are far too many of you walking around dismissing things as sales 101 or saying, I know that. And here's the bottom line. You're not doing what you know. And I would also challenge you into even thinking that you know it in the first place, because it's probably been 2 decades for some of you guys, or even 5 or 6 years since you've learned it. But even so, even if you learned it last year, chances are superb that you're not doing it. Because see, that's called being human. I can tell you any variety of things that I myself I'm really quick to say to someone, yeah, I know that. But you know what? Then I catch myself, yeah, but like I haven't done that like since what, like 1991, man. Like, okay. So don't tell people you know stuff if you're not doing it. So you have to work on that one. And sometimes we do have to go through the basics in those sales meetings. And you know what? Here's where it push is going to come to shove. If you feel that the topics that your sales manager is bringing to the team are really kind of basic for you, why don't you come back with some ideas and some topics that would be most relevant to you? And I guess I kind of skipped the step in there. Sales managers, why don't you ask your team what they want to talk about? Probably not a bad place to start. So I think it's very, very important that you do that. Here's one for both of you, for both sales management and sales reps. We got to keep it positive, man. I can't tell you how many times I've been in a sales meeting and it's just been either a beat up session from the sales manager or a piss and complain and bitch and moan session from the sales reps. I mean, we have to look at these sales meetings as an opportunity to just reinforce our body armor before we go out and do battle. Beating people up, telling people and complaining to your boss about what sucks about the policy or the comp plan or how crappy the meeting is that you're having right now, that's really not helping anyone. And it's also a very selfish attitude for you to be taking on with regard to your fellow teammates. So I want you to think about that. And the other thing too, I mean, and it kind of goes along with what I said before, sales reps, start bringing ideas to your manager. You want to stand out on your team? Why don't you do that? I don't know a sales manager alive who wouldn't sit there right then and there and almost want to say, well, where you been my whole life? Because nobody does that. So that's one of the things that you can certainly do. Here is a tip for you sales reps. And also, too, it really is for you sales managers, too. Sales reps, one of the action items you could take after today's podcast that I will tell you will make an immediate impact on your progress, go to your sales manager and ask them respectfully if you could run a sales meeting or you could present to the sales team. And I'm going to tell you why. First of all, public speaking skills, and more specifically, facilitation skills, in some ways, it's a lost art. And yet, more and more meetings that we're going to, or more and more decisions, rather, are being made by committee. We have to get better at speaking before groups of people. I can't think of a tougher group, by the way, than other salespeople, man. We are a brutal bunch. But you know what? There is nothing wrong. There is no downside to training tougher than reality. You want tougher than reality? You go and present in front of other salespeople. That is tougher than reality. It's going to make some of these other people just look like your best friend in the whole world. The other thing too, just your ability to facilitate discussion, your ability to get other people involved and ask for their spin and their thoughts and get the people who aren't talking involved. I mean, that is just an incredible skill to have. Sales managers, one of the things that I always recommend when I coach you guys is that you turn over the keys to your meeting. If you want them to find just greater value in the sales meetings, give them the ownership of the meeting and take on more of a role of an advisor. Many times, I can tell you from past experience when I had to learn the hard way, way back in the day when I didn't know any better, my sales meetings became the Paul Castain show. That's not good. And that's a bore real fast. As interesting as I'd like to think I am, they don't. So, and I bet it's the same for you. So what you want to do is turn over the keys and have more of them speaking. When you put together the agenda, have more of them taking the spotlight. And what I would do in these meetings too is take turns and assign one of them the role of kind of like CMO, Chief Meeting Officer, man. You are in charge of Tuesday's meeting. It is your game. The only thing I want you to do is just send me the agenda so I could just kind of approve it. And just make sure that we're cool, that we're not going to be sitting there and on the agenda is complaining about me or the company or the crazy policies, whatever. But that's one of the things that I would do. And on that, I think we beat the hell out of that first one. We got to move on to item number two. You're going to love this. One of the things that sales reps hate: joint sales calls. In other words, I don't mean ones where you're smoking a joint. Let me be very, very clear. I'm talking about meetings where like your boss wants to go out in the field with you and ride along with you. Man, I got to tell you, I hated that. I absolutely hated it because seriously, until I got to like a later point in my life, there was a lot of people I worked with that were just idiots and a-holes, and I hated having them in the car with me. I mean, it just, to me, I'd rather go get like double root canals all day without any kind of Novocaine. I mean, seriously, it was bad. So let me tell you, sales managers, what sales reps have to say about this. Manager takes over the meeting. Too critical about our style and our methods. You ready for this next one? Annoying. Totally unnecessary. And I could go on and on and on. I mean, there's just lots and lots to say about, because I think I've kind of captured the gist when I kind of used the word a-hole before. But let me just kind of do a quick timeout, because some of you sales managers, right, and you might say, yeah, it's okay, I don't ask to do it, so no harm, no foul. I'm going to tell you, when I worked for Dale Carnegie, geez, man, a few years back, my mentor there, who, by the way, was a veteran of the company, I'm guessing about 25 or 27 years. And he sat me down very respectfully one day And he asked me, and he knew the answer, but he kind of needed me to kind of come to grips with it. He said, you know, how often are you getting out with your reps in the field? And I gave him an answer that was definitely less than stellar. It wasn't zero times that I was getting out in the field. But again, I think I was leaning more toward leading my army from behind the desk. And as many or some of you know, I just did a piece on that on my blog, which I'm going to have in the show notes. If you go back to yoursalesplaybook.com/97, and I talk a little bit about that. But he just invited me in just a very kind way to make it more of a priority to get out there and even just kind of set weekly goals of how many times I wanted to get out in the field and with how many different reps and things like that. And I will tell you, it radically changed results and even my relationships with the people that I was managing. So sales managers, if you're not doing this, and sales reps, if you haven't really bought into your sales manager coming along with you, I do want to kind of offer a few reasons why you might want to consider. Again, this will all be in the show notes, but let's just kind of go through it anyway. Just for the heck of it, my podcast, my rules. First of all, I think it helps your manager understand what you're up against and helps them keep their finger on the pulse. You see, no disrespect to your sales manager, but many of them haven't sold since before the flood. Many of them, even if they sold in the last few years, they're kind of looking at things now that they're in a leadership role from a 30,000 foot vantage point, which can be good in some aspects, but in many they lose touch. So this can help them truly understand what you're up against, by the way. And if you feel that your sales manager doesn't understand you, then you can't put up roadblocks when they want to ride with you. In fact, I think you should invite them out with you. The other thing that it does is it allows them to see areas where they can truly help you and support you and remove those internal speed bumps. Many times, folks, they're either not aware or maybe you don't want to tell them about some of the things you're up against because maybe you feel like you're being a wuss or you're complaining or you're rocking the boat or it's going to fall on deaf ears and whatever. You might be completely right, but sometimes people just have to see it for themselves. So I think that's going to help you there. And then also too, I think it helps you, and we can file this one under warm and fuzzy, but it's really going to help you guys to get to know each other better. And I think your best work is done when you truly understand the other person that's supposed to be your partner in this. I want to tell you just a real quick corny story, and I'm going to butcher it and paraphrase it and just kind of, as my wife would say, kind of like the Irish in me is going to come out as I kind of tell the story. But there's a story that Rick Pitino told in his book, Success is a Choice, which I think it came out, man, it was probably like 1999, 2000, somewhere around there. Good book, by the way. And one of the things he was talking about was how he was managing this team, and they were getting their ass kicked repeatedly. And he just kind of let it happen, didn't say anything. They go into, I think, the locker room, and they're getting in shouting matches with each other about, well, it's your fault, and you know, you should have done better with the ball, and you should have done this, and you know, people were feeling really, really down, and they were getting argumentative. And Pitino kind of stepped in and said, well, I mean, I don't mean to be rude, but you deserve to lose. And everybody kind of looked at him, and I guess if it were in a movie, you'd hear like the needle kind of scratch across the record. And he was like, yeah, you heard me. I mean, you deserve to. And they're like, well, why would we deserve to? I mean, we're working hard. And he said, well, let me ask you a question. And let's just say he turned to John, and he said, John, how many kids does Frank have? And he couldn't answer the question. And you know what? Hey, Tom, what's Paul's wife's name? And, you know, he asked a series of questions. They knew nothing about each other. And his point was, how can you trust your coworker if you know nothing about them? How can you work together at just the highest level possible if you don't have that trust and you don't have that knowledge? Plus, I think, and again, I'm going out on a limb here, but I think that our tendency as a human being is to kind of come to false conclusions about people out of our own ignorance. So if you want to eliminate that and you want a chance to bond with your manager, and managers, if you want a chance to bond with your reps, you really should consider going out in the field together. And the other thing too, again, sorry folks, it's corny, but I wouldn't be telling you if there wasn't a benefit to you. There's something about breaking bread together, right? I mean, now we're kind of talking about the game. We're not in the game as in like in that appointment or whatever it is. Now we're kind of just kind of breaking bread, learning about each other, talking about the game, looking back at what we could have done better. And there's just tremendous value in that. Now, having said that, let me get down to this business of telling you how you can have a better joint sales call and eliminate a lot of the BS. So the first thing is, I think one of the things that you're going to want to do when it comes to this is you really have to decide on the roles that people are going to play ahead of time. Now, I'm going to tell you about a conversation that I used to have with my sales reps. Sales managers, feel free to rip it off and tweak it as you see fit or whatever it is. One of the things that I would say to my reps is I'd say there's basically three types of meetings. There's one where you go in and you do all the talking. I shut my mouth and I will not speak unless spoken to, and I'll just simply just offer you my feedback after the meeting when we're on the plane ride home or whatever it is. That's the first type. The second one is when I go in. And I usually, by the way, I hardly ever said that to veteran sales reps. It's kind of insulting. But ones where I go in, I do all the talking. And it might be a difficult situation, or maybe I need to demonstrate a particular skill, or maybe there's a product line that their sales rep is really not up to speed on, and I'm going to need to take over and do that. So there's ones where I come in and I do all the talking, and later on we'll kind of regroup together. And they're the ones that you and I both go in together, guns blazing, and we kind of kick ass together. How should we proceed today? I always like to find that out ahead of time because it just establishes roles. And I'm also going to tell you, sales managers, once you ask that question, you really have to respect your place in that meeting. Now, I do think that you should have some kind of signal. Now, I don't mean something that's really, really dopey or corny or something that very, very quickly looks like you have some kind of an inside thing going on. I mean, here is like my elaborate signal that I use. And this, when I tell you what it is, you'll realize why I had to quit the whole Secret Service thing and being a secret agent and all that kind of stuff, because I'm just too damn obvious. I used to always tell my reps, here is the signal. When you need me to chime in, or you're just kind of going up you-know-what's creek real fast without a paddle, I want you to turn to me and say, Paul, is there anything that you'd like to add? Just have them ask you straight up, is there anything you'd like to add? To me, that's French for get your ass into the conversation. Help, I'm doing my phone-a-friend thing. I need you. So that is a great way to do it. The other thing too, and let me just kind of put now this over to the sales reps, you have to become more cooperative. I mean, a lot of these problems that we're talking about and these challenges, it's because of your damn ego. And we're blessed with these egos in sales that protect us from the rejection and a lot of the ups and downs and the emotional roller coasters. But it's also that damn ego that really puts a lot of people off, pisses a lot of people off, and creates a lot of unnecessary problems. I mean, seriously, we have to become more cooperative. And definitely, I mean, you should agree to that time with your manager. And you know what, too? Stop playing games. And here's another one that I don't want you to pretend like you don't know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about these little games that some of you play with your manager when you don't want them going in the field, so you try your best to discourage it by not getting back to them with the day and time, not getting back to them with the information or some of the things that they need, so that they just kind of, your goal here, at least when I jump into your head, this is what I'm thinking it is to discourage them so that they're like, you know what, screw it, man. Frank is a complete pain in the ass with this. I'm just going to go ride with Mary today. I don't know that that helps anyone. I think that if you establish some parameters and you learn how to work together, everyone can really, really benefit from that. It brings us now to the final one. And this one I'm not going to beat up as much as the other two. The final area, and by the way, I think we could probably have 10 or 15 areas in this podcast today talking about things that just kind of annoy the heck out of sales reps. The final area, item number three, are one-on-ones. And here are some of the things that sales reps have said. Again, some of this sounds identical as far as feedback to the other two areas we talked about. And some of the things that they're saying, unnecessary. It's a beat-up session. I'm being judged. Oh, this one I want you to write down. This one is a classic. You ready? Please write this one down. And if you're driving, just kind of pull a car over and jot this one down. Feel like I'm being judged by someone who's completely out of touch with the battlefield. And that's unfortunate, but I hear that a lot, by the way. Other things that people have said, one-sided. This next one is another one that I want you to write down. Poor listening and not giving undivided attention by allowing repeated interruptions. I can't tell you how many times I've seen firsthand as being the person in a one-on-one with a manager, and also from things that I've heard from a lot of you guys, where you're sitting with your manager, or again, it could be the business owner, whoever it is that's giving you the feedback, and either they start late or there you are sitting with them, and every time that phone rings, they take every call. And by the way, I worked with a jackass like that. I hated it. These like one-on-ones that we were supposed to have were supposed to be like 30 minutes. They would turn into like an hour and change because this guy felt the need. Every call that came in, he would have to pick up the phone. And I've seen other people do it with having to check their smartphone repeatedly. First of all, I'm here to tell you, I mean, it's freaking rude. It really is. You need to know that maybe your sales rep doesn't have the balls to tell you that, but I'm telling you, it's rude. You don't treat people like that. And also, too, it is just really disrespectful of their time. And quite frankly, if you don't buy in on those other things, I think it's a complete waste of your time. Why in the hell would you go and just have something take an hour that probably could have easily taken 30 minutes, or something that should have taken an hour going to 2 hours because you're allowing the interruption? So it really needs to be undivided. And well, let me just throw a couple of tips at you on this one. Like I said, I'm going to go through this one quickly. Obviously, starting in on time, have a set format. Now, here's something crazy. One of the things that you might want to do with this, and I have several clients who have done this, they sat down with their team and they just asked them, what should this format look like? What do you think we should do to make this a productive use of your time and my time? And so that when we leave, we feel like we left a little bit better for that experience of having understood what we're each kind of up against here. So that could be something that you could do. If you don't want to do it in a group setting, ask one-on-one. How do you think we should go about our one-on-one together? Sales managers, you need to start asking better questions, and questions that actually give you some answers. And that's something that you easily could have gotten if you just read the damn report or gone into Salesforce. I'm talking about something like you need to talk to them about. Ask better questions. And my definition of better questions too would be things that get inspire discussion. How about that? That would be pretty cool. Brainstorming types of questions. Kind of like, in what ways can we get into this vertical? And in what ways can we take the ABC account and get this other product line in there? That kind of stuff. Very, very important. And I think it's just huge. And please write this down. We have to make a note to stop being so judgmental, because you see what you're doing. When you want information and you want people to meet with you to begin with, and then you're just being a pain in their ass during that time, you're being judgmental and you're making it unpleasant, how is that conditioning the behavior of them being willing to sit down with you and share information in the future? What you're encouraging is them putting their head down and getting through this as quickly and painlessly as possible by shutting their mouth, taking their medicine so they could just get back out and doing more productive things. So I want you to think about that. And sales reps, this is huge. I've mentioned this before. Please, if you take nothing else out of today's free audio lesson, I want you to start losing your ego. Have the balls to ask for help. I think that is one of the toughest things for us salespeople to do. Hey, by the way, just in case you're thinking, man, this guy's a real pompous idiot today. Well, you don't see it, but I'm raising my hand on this one. For the bulk of my adult life, I have been one who never asked for help. And it wasn't, in fact, I was talking about this on one of my blog posts. I mean, I didn't even start taking on coaches and hiring them for my own development until much later in my life. I mean, I'm trying to think, man, I think I was probably in my late 30s. So it was probably within the last 10 years. So really a good portion of my life had been spent without those types of people there. And even cases where I'd see someone getting a better result, and I wouldn't even ask them, hey, how you doing that? Because, again, my ego, well, you don't want to ask them that. That's that kind of admits defeat. That's just a bad place for us to be. So I want you to consider that. Again, lose your ego, ask for help, and be open to suggestions. Be open to critique. Maybe even to the point where you start asking, hey, you were out in the field with me. What do you think I could have done differently? What are some things that you're observing? Hey, you know what? You had mentioned to me several times that you were in this role also. What are some things that you did when you were up against what I'm up against right now? That kind of stuff, but be open to it. And please don't just go through the motions of doing that because you think it sounds cool. Don't you dare ask those questions if you just have no interest in what they're going to say. Trust me, they're going to see right through it. I know I did as a sales manager, and it just kind of feels like somebody's blowing smoke. So you want to be very, very careful. And you know what? For both of you, sales managers, sales reps, you really want to, whether it be on these joint sales calls, certainly in the sales meetings and on these one-on-ones, we want to create an environment and a vibe, if you will, of one that is collaborative and brainstorming, working together, learning, and all of us just striving to become better and with a common purpose and goal. So with that, and there you kind of have it, right? Three areas that sales reps hate. But really, when you look at it, our business can also benefit if we simply learn how to get along, man. I kind of feel like we should have a group hug after that. But, you know, one of the things I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, and before you go, I just want to tell you very quickly, of course, we have the upcoming sales training program coming up on January 22nd. There are 8 sessions in store for you. And just in case you didn't know this already, I try to mention this a lot. We record each session, so we'll deliver it live. And if you can't be there, or even if you can and you want some reinforcement, within 24 to 48 hours, you're going to get a link to a recording of it. So you can kind of go about your business and just kind of learn at your own pace. But here's what's in store for you. I'm going to be showing you how you can stand out in just a really, really noisy world. I mean, I think one of the things we all agree on is that there's more distractions out there with your prospect than ever before. They don't have you and I on the brain. How can we stand out? How can we hunt differently? How can we respond differently? And you know what? One of the biggest things that I try to do with this course is marry things like LinkedIn and emails and phone calls and creative approaches to generate more business. Because I got to tell you, too many of you, in fact, way too many of you, are just too dependent on the phone. Not here to diss the phone. As I've always said, I just think it's lonely. It needs some companionship. That's going to be part of my job during the course, to show you some different ways to hunt. And there are lots of ways. You know, and the other thing too is if you're even thinking that this is a sales 101 type of course, I want you to think again. And even if it were, even if I'm lying to you right now, just to go in and snatch your money from you, I'm going to tell you, you probably should go anyway, because I guarantee you, again, this isn't my first rodeo working with you guys, that the things that you claim you know, you might not know. I mean, many of us, we really don't know as much as we give ourselves credit for knowing. And even so, many times we don't do the things that we know. So I think in that respect, it would be worth it alone. But you know what? There's going to be more info on the website. Yes, we discount for 2 or more, but I do want to tell you, the clock's ticking. If you want to join us, enrollment is going to be ending in less than a week. And depending on when you're listening to it, I mean, heck, man, it could even be today by the time you listen to this. So I really want you to take action. I think it could be an awesome way for you to begin the new year strong. And certainly, if you've had an opportunity to listen to these podcasts and experience my methodology on the blogs and different things that I write and my interactions with you on Twitter, LinkedIn, and the groups and things like that, I'm telling you right now, if you find value in that, I think you'd find even more value once you become my customer. So feel free to go back, visit the site and the show notes, yoursalesplaybook.com/97. And on that awesome note, I am Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production.